This is the Roaring Elephant Podcast, and here I am once more with my investigative journalist friend, Jon. Hello, Jon.
Oh, God, that sounds like working. What are you doing to me?
Scary. Scary, isn't it?
Well, it's not that scary, it's just finally, I don't know how to do it. I'm not used to it. I didn't say that. My boss doesn't listen to this podcast anyway.
So we are once more diving into, I wouldn't say this is as much an analysis as a commentary on a report that we have regularly commented on in this podcast. It's the, do you want to tell our audience what it's all about?
It's about De Bring.
Yes, we are De Bring, the Verizon 2025 Data Breach Investigations Report, or DBIR. This is like one of my quiet favorites of things that get published every year, and you know, just get to sit down with a cup of coffee and just kind of read it and nerd out about all the weird things that they found and all of the trends that are changing and shifting, and it's just a good time.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, for me, it's hard work. We already had that topic. I would say, however, that the 2025 year report is a little less easy to read. On the one hand, they made it more funny, jokey, to make it easier to read. But I don't know, I had a feeling that last year's had more explanations about the things they saw, not just conclusions, but also a little bit more deeper into the why behind it, which of course they can't know a lot about. They're only doing surveys and assembling things, but still Verizon, they're doing this for a while, so they must have people that have ideas about this. And this one, it kind of felt a little bit sterile, if I like, no personal opinion allowed. Just a feeling.
I don't know. I did have a quick look back at last year's. I don't think it's changed that much. I think there are some style shifts, as you sort of mentioned, that I don't know. I kind of like them, but there's also some slightly sort of weird changes as well. Like some of the visualizations, I think they're trying too hard to sort of make something, I don't know,
reinvent themselves.
Yeah, maybe that's it, but I don't know.
They were so happy about the first graph, they put it on the front cover. So
I mean, do we want to start with the very, very first image and our thoughts on it?
Before that, I just want to mention that the DBIR report is free to read online on the Verizon website. There is leave your details here, so we put you in our marketing database. But if you look closely, it's a bit of a dark pattern there. You don't have to submit, so you can just download immediately. So anybody who wants to read the report along with us, we will wait about 20 minutes now for you to give you time to go online, find the report, put in all the personal details, and on deciding not to press the submit button, but click the download button, just like I did.
There we go. So this is a huge report. This is 117 pages, but don't worry, we're not going to go for everything. We're just going to call out some of the individual kind of patterns or graphs, or just kind of discuss some of the things that we thought were interesting. In my case, you know, often it's how the trends are changing from year to year that I think is kind of interesting. Jon has some other points that he likes to bring to the forefront, but don't worry, we're not going to go over this blow by blow, page by page.
Well, we will, but we have already in our spare time to give you a summary now. Just consider us a friendly ChatGPT, not version 5.
There we go. Friendly ChatGPT, less hallucination in your ear holes. There we go.
So you wanted to talk about the pretty little graph on page 1.
I mean, it's like an upside down pyramid with wonky sides. How's that?
Oh, I saw that's a very cubist cotton candy.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's how it's shaped, right?
Yeah. Multicolored cotton candy.
Of course,
right. Anyway, so this it's a graph supposedly just depicting the differences between the 2024 survey and the 2025 survey, and the different sort of categories of third party involvement in breaches, and you know it goes through sort of privilege misuse, basic web application attacks, social engineering, miscellaneous errors, system intrusion, and that's it. And it sort of contrasts between of the differences between sort of one year and the other. But this is one of those ones where it's just trying too hard. The visualization is like a little bit like when you know what you're looking at, yeah, it's a little bit easier. But it's not the easiest way to immediately look at something and think, oh yeah, I know exactly what that means.
No, definitely form over matter or form over date on this one. But yeah, it does have some interesting data. Social engineering kind of status quo-ish, didn't change that much, which is surprising because I was assuming that with the whole GenAI thing that social engineering would have gone a lot more sophisticated. But apparently it actually went down a little bit. But the biggest shifts
although you say that, you've got to remember, we didn't mention this at the start, but this report was actually released April this year, but the data comes from the 1st of November 2023 through to end of October 2024. So think about, you know, some of the changes and the improvements we've had in GenAI since October last year. I'm guessing that the 2026 DBIR is going to have a lot more kind of social engineering growth. But
I don't think actually the whole GenAI thing has gotten any better. I mean, look at ChatGPT-5 that recently was released that,
I think some of the voice models and that sort of thing have got a lot better since October last year.
I think
year.
It's a different thing. It's more the familiarity of the bad people with those tools. In this report, they were just starting out. And maybe the fact that it went down is because they didn't use it correctly, but did move over like many companies, just will adopt GenAI and everything will go better. Well, no, that's not how it works, apparently, also in the bad world. But yeah, I do agree that in the next reports, the social engineering will probably go up, but because, in my opinion, the hackers and everything, they learn how to use these tools more efficiently, correctly, and so on. I don't think the tools themselves are evolving as much as people think.
We'll agree to disagree on that one.
I disagree.
Yeah, I know you
would.
Which
means I have to agree, damn it.
Miscellaneous errors. Like, it dropped from 25% last year to 12% this year. So it's basically halved. And I don't... This just seems like a little bit weird to me in that, I don't know, maybe I'm sort of crazy, but I would think that that sort of thing would be like an underlying or sort of like a, almost like a constant undercurrent. Like people will always make random miscellaneous errors when they're doing things. That's the human error it's why human error is called what it's called. But it seems to suggest that there was a fairly drastic shift, at least in the human errors that led, or the miscellaneous errors, sorry, that led to data breaches. Any theories on that?
Oh, yeah. I know exactly where this is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this report, they actually note that the participation by the U.S. companies was down. So where early reports had more of an US bias, this year it's more of an EMEA, APJ thing. And basically, Europeans, we do less weird shit. It's as simple as that.
Right, okay.
You ask, I'll tell you.
Yeah, that's true. I did ask you for your whack-a-mole theories, and you gave it to me. Excellent. Job done. Well done. All right. And then the other big shift is system intrusion went from 36% to just over half, 53% this year, which is, I think that's the biggest, certainly the biggest jump in that direction.
That's about 40% which, more, so...
Yeah. Which, to me, sort of does make sense.
It's such a generic term, right? System intrusion. They do define it in the report, so there's a whole paragraph where you can read what's in there. And when I read that, I had kind of a feeling that they made it more generic, so that more things fell into that bucket. Oh,
could be.
And maybe what was miscellaneous errors before, now some of those got classified as system intrusion. And maybe not because Verizon did things differently, but because, again, the bias in respondents ask a question to different culture people, they will potentially give you a different answer, because for me, this means this, but for you, it means that. So there will be some shifting there. And system intrusion being so generic, the other ones are pretty easy. I mean, miscellaneous errors, social engineering, basic web application attacks, privilege misuse, very concrete, very precise. But system intrusion is much more than somebody got in. It's a much more broader category, because basically, I mean, system intrusion, any hack will eventually have system intrusion, or you're a very bad hacker, I'd say. I mean, you have identity theft and that kind of stuff, but still, you do identity theft. Why? To get into something, right? To get into your bank account, to get into a system.
Indeed. All right, so we'll move on from the weird graph and onto some less weird graphs. The next one that stood out to actually both of us was the, sadly, fairly linear over the years from 2020 all the way through to this 2025 report, like steady increase pretty much in ransomware. When was that huge ransomware attack?
Yesterday, the day before yesterday, the day before yesterday. No, they're big ones every day.
the one that sort of like took everybody. The cargo ships,
you mean, Maersk?
No, the one that sort of this one that seemed to take everybody by surprise, like globally, a massive. It was before CrowdStrike.
The Maersk global shipping company went down in 2017. That was a big one.
No, I'm thinking of, oh God.
Because
the reason I ask, I'm wondering if there was something that happened in 2020.
WannaCry. Maersk was one of the ones that was hit by that one.
Yeah,
that's kind of the biggest one. NotPetya was before that. Also 2017. I thought NotPetya was before that, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay, so the reason I was asking is that basically it's been a pretty steady linear rise of like the of ransomware attacks, you know, going from less than 5% in 2020 up to over 40% in 2025. But there was like a spike in 2022, and then it sort of leveled off. Yeah, but to 2023. And then it's carried on accelerating. I was wondering whether there was a particular sort of something that spiked people's attention in that. So if it was the 2022 report, it would have been during the 2021 data. Something that spiked sort of people's like attention to ransomware that caused it to stay level, you know, through that period. But it's, you know, for the last 3 years, it's continued accelerating.
Well, there was a moment
WannaCry was
when
WannaCry
the
was what I was thinking about.
Toolkit from one of the big US agencies was leaked, and a lot of ransomware was built on top of that. I think that was WannaCry, not Petya time frame. That was 2017. I don't think it's as recent as 2022.
No, I don't think it was either.
But I think this is actually a bump from, I mean, this is just ransomware attacks. Doesn't it necessarily mean successful ones.
No.
And what has happened, it comes up in the report later, is that the amount of money people are asking ransomware attacks are, I was going to say normalizing, but of course there's nothing normal about this. But in the early days, 5 years ago, they were asking for 10 million, 20 million, whatever. And people weren't just able to pay that. Or basically they said 10 million, giving you 10 million or just taking it on the chin and living whatever damage you did is actually cheaper. So maybe that's kind of when that changed in 2022, that people kind of got more serious. We also have the whole insurance things. We used to be able to insure yourself against ransomware. That has now also been curbed a little bit. It's not that easy anymore to do that because governments don't want you to do that, because that means you won't report them and won't protect against them. So all those things might have had something to do with that. But again, that's what I meant with the report. I'm missing that. I don't expect them to give me that's why exactly, but a little bit more depth in their ideas behind it. In my memory, that was more present in the earlier years.
Yeah, maybe. And then I think something else that you called out was like the shift for small to medium businesses.
Yeah, and that makes total sense, because if the money you're going to be asking for is going down, you can ask that small amount to more targets. And the annoying thing with ransomware is it doesn't cost much at all to do it. And it's just spray and hit something, just hit the whole internet and see which port doors are open and start doing it regardless of who it is. And it's all been almost commercial. These guys have help desks and everything, so it's completely professionalized. So even big or small, not a problem. And the other thing, of course, is that more and more small businesses are on the internet. It's still, I mean, 5 years ago, the local butcher, the local baker didn't have a website necessarily. These days, everybody's online, and more of transactions, financial transactions are happening online. So the amount of targets is growing at least as linearly as this graph shows the ransomware attacks are. The toolkit is getting more and more available, easy to use, and they're no longer going for these huge takedowns. It's more of another mass play, but large attacks, many attacks with lower income still give you a bigger revenue, if you can use those words when you talk about ransomware crime, of course.
Yeah, and you know, to put some numbers to this, ransomware is a component of 39% of breaches on average, but it's a component of all SMBs experience ransomware related breaches to the tune of 88%. So it's just a crazy sort of shift there. And I think you're probably spot on there. Like it's become something that's so easy to execute with relatively little skill or knowledge that, you know, everyone's able to do it. And as you say, like so many organizations have an online presence now, or at least have an environment that has some sort of connectivity. But you know, there's a logistics company not too far away from me that was hit. You know, it's just a trucking company with, you know, 100 or so trucks and employees, you know, several hundred people, and you know, they got hit by a ransomware sort of attack, encrypted their entire sort of customer database, all of their sort of the systems that they use. You know, DAC has also destroyed all their backups, and you know, asked for over £1 million, and like the company just had to fold. Like there was nothing they could do. They couldn't recreate everything that they needed. It just wasn't cost effective. And this is the really sad thing, is that these kind of SMB targeted ransomware attacks, some of them are going to be fatal for these companies.
Yeah, just hoping that the poor truck driver that's stranded in the middle of nowhere and gets not a phone call, but sees that he can't do it anymore. Well, if his truck is full of PS5s or graphics cards, then...
Yeah, then he's winning. If it's empty and on the way back from somewhere, not so much.
I think last time we spoke, I had the example of a truck full of pigs. That's probably going to be a bit less easy to deal with. Now, one thing also for the 88%, very large number of ransomware in SMB, there's also what can you get? Because basically they all do it for the money, right? In the end, somebody needs to make money. You can make money a couple of ways. Yeah. You can break in, steal data, and then monetize that data. Huge companies have a lot of data. You have the medicinal hacks from a month ago, something like that, medical lab, something. There you go for the data. So you won't typically ransomware it because you want to get all the data over time, continuously. So as long as they don't notice you, you just keep exfiltrating data. Small and medium businesses, by definition, have less data. So ransomware is pretty much the go-to answer, I would say, for small businesses, because that's the easiest way for the bad guys to get you to fork over money. But it's not that it's higher than average. It's more that the other kind of breaches are less frequently used in small business, I think, personally.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so the next thing that I thought was sort of interesting is, you know, we were talking earlier about Gen AI, and again, like, we need to remind ourselves that this is data from, you know, end of 2023 through to the end of 2024. So things may have shifted a little bit since then, but you know, the sort of folks that are using generative AI technologies are, in terms of how they're accessing those, most of them are still using personal accounts. 72% are still just logging in to these tools with personal accounts. A sort of small, about 15% are accessing things on their corporate accounts, using their corporate accounts, but not integrated into sort of any sort of corporate single sign-on or anything like that. And 17% are sort of using them with their corporate credentials, but without any sort of integration into a corporate single sign-on platform or anything like that. And 15% are actually using it, you know, fully integrated and that sort of thing. That's a lot of Gen AI usage. You know, I guarantee lots of people are using it for work and outside of any sorts of controls. You can only wonder what sort of data people are plugging into some of these platforms that they really shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, but it's the risk with bring your own device, right? I mean, I'm a huge advocate for bring your own device. I hate lockdown laptops. And so if my company gives me a laptop and I don't have root access, I'm not going to use it. Mm. I hate that. But yeah, there was definitely a question about how mature are you to handle the responsibility that comes with a bring your own device. And I must say, from personal experience, it is being locked down a lot more and more, which I am sad about, but I've still been able to do most of what I want to do freely. But this is nothing new. It's not Gen AI. This is nothing new with Gen AI. Just look at GitHub. How many corporate secrets have been leaked on GitHub over the last 10 years? People doing weird shit. It's just, you're not going to stop that. I mean,
sad. People sharing things that they shouldn't in places source, that they it? Shouldn't. I'm always reminded by the one of the locations you can often find classified military information is the War Thunder forums, where people try to prove each other wrong by in various different arguments about various different aircraft or vehicles that are represented in War Thunder, and then end up sharing confidential and classified information, in some cases top secret information, to prove a point, and then obviously, yes, get fired.
I'm pretty sure that on the forums there's some active social engineering happening. I wouldn't be surprised that people that want to know certain stuff start arguments on the forum in the hopes that somebody will release stuff, because it's been happening so much, it'd be stupid if nobody does that.
Maybe. You never know.
And we won't find out today. because this is all the time we have for this first part of our overview of the hot stuff in the Debir. Until next time, you can support this podcast by becoming a patron, contributions to help us. We have an email address at podcast@roaringelephant.org, and I will take some Dixie lessons so I can actually start talking properly again soon. And you go to the website at www.roaringelephant.org, links there to all the stuff I just talked about. Until next time, my name is Don't Ransom Mare Me Cause I'm Poor. Yo.
And my name is Didn't Cry Dave.
Ah, I look forward to talk to you again next week. Goodbye.
See you then.